Letters on a Spit Flapboard Turnover, Reno Productions. Words appear over black, Reno Productions, in association with Gold Crest Features and Synergy Pictures presents. Nighttime. In monochrome, from behind the view of a windshield, a blonde woman struts to a parked car. Lights beam from the gas station beside the parking lot. She hops in the car and puts on the seatbelt. We follow her as she pulls out of the lot. Her car passes through a wooded neighborhood.
I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the mist of tears, I hid from him and under running laughter.
In the car behind her, a tear streams down the cheek of a middle-aged man. Title: Stephen King's A Good Marriage. In color, people mingle at a party venue.
Come on, Darcy! Go for it, Mom! Go for it!
Bob, a dark-haired suited man, reaches toward Darcy, a petite middle-aged blonde woman in her red dress.
She hot or what? Or an older chick, I mean.
A bartender and older man stare.
You talk too much.
A young woman approaches the bartender.
I'll think of you.
Bob and Darcy dance lively, surrounded by their guests. The white-haired man smokes and reads a newspaper with a headline that reads, "Police expect Dee Dee to mail latest victim's ID."
So, what's up with the advertising genius?
We got our first client last week. Yeah, it's the biggest car dealership in Cleveland. They want a new approach, something that skews younger, so.
You waited all night to tell us this.
I'm sorry.
Wonderful.
That's amazing. Three kids. Just coming all this way just to party with the old folks. It's just...
Darcy's smile fades and she lowers her chin.
Mommy, okay? I'm sorry. I think I do need to go powder my nose after all.
Petra, Darcy's strawberry blonde daughter, knits her brows. In the restroom, with a red-haired woman. Darcy applies lipstick beside the woman.
You're the best. You're so lucky. Got a good man, good couple of kids, and you even still got your figure.
Your figure is fine, Betty. Bob certainly noticed. My mother would say, count your blessings, babe.
Oh, I do. You know that guy, Beatty, over in New Hampshire? You got another one. A gay divorcee like me.
What do you mean? The,
The news anchor on Channel 8, you know, the really cute one, he said it makes it an even dozen. She was tortured. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm drunk.
It's okay.
Go back to your family.
Okay, are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just need a little more time by myself.
All right, I'll see you later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At the party, Darcy and Bob stand alone in the hall.
I'm gonna save this till later, Bob.
He hands her a velvet jewelry case.
Happy anniversary, Mrs. Anderson.
She opens it, a gold pair of dangly fish earrings.
Oh!
You're a Pisces.
Oh my God, Bobby, they're beautiful. Beautiful, thank you. Mm. Oh, wow.
Now just save that for later. Save it for later. Oh.
She gently wipes tears from her eyes.
Let me try them on.
The white-haired man at the bar glares at her.
There. How do they look?
They were made for you, huh?
you hold that?
Yes.
And we better get back in there. They're going to think we got a room.
Honestly speaking, I wouldn't mind.
All right, ladies and germs, what we have here is the best accountant in our little company. Yeah. In the state of Maine. Best damn accountant in the USOA. And you want to know why? You want to know why? Because he's careful, okay? Because he checks his work. And look out, IRS, because when he has to, covers his tracks. Enjoy.
Bill hands Bob a toilet seat and lid inlaid with coins.
Hi. I just wanted to thank everybody for coming tonight and just take a minute of your time. When Donnie and I decided to have this party, it was really as a way of saying thank you to our parents for your love and support and for putting up with us for the past 25 years. But really, to thank them for their love and their respect and their devotion to each other. Through hard work and a little help from their kids and lots of love, my parents have created something very rare, a good marriage. We love you guys.
Bob and Darcy walk into their home.
Well, we have the house for ourselves.
Yes. We do.
Am I going to get lucky tonight?
Well, if you bring me some fizzy water to settle my stomach a little, you just might.
Oh, I want you to be on top.
Well, we'll see.
Darcy tugs at her hairdo and leaves the kitchen. Bob shrugs out of his jacket, sets two bottles of wine in the fridge and takes out a bottle of fizzy water. He rushes to the cabinet full of glasses across from the fridge. In the bedroom, Darcy wears a silky pink slip. She drapes a red cloth over the lamp on a nightstand and slides under the bedsheets. Downstairs, Bob balances two glasses of fizzy water on a silver platter. He climbs the staircase. He hands her a glass and peeks out through the bedroom windows. Across the street, a garage light illuminates the silhouette of a man hitching a woman's leg up against his hip.
Bob.
You're my bad, bad girl.
Are you my naughty boy?
I am. I can't help it. I'm powerless over my nature.
I hope you're not powerless over the long list of honeydews I have for year 26, Mr. Anderson.
He gently walks the standing mirror in the corner of the room toward the bed.
Come on over here, you naughty little boy.
From outside, the bedroom light glows against the darkened windows of the house. A cigarette drops onto a pile of butts on the rain-slick street. The white-haired man sits in a car and cranes his neck toward the window. Bob watches Darcy's back gyrate over him in the mirror. He reaches up, fingers wandering to her dangling fish earrings. She collapses on top of him. Darcy kisses his jaw and rolls off of him. He pulls the blankets over his chest as she rolls out of bed.
That was terrific.
Good. Happy anniversary, you naughty little boy.
The white-haired man glares at their window and starts his car. He drives away. Tucked in bed, Darcy and Bob look at a tablet.
Okay. The 1955 double dye wheat penny. Robert Anderson's great white whale.
Christ. Mm-hmm. Is that uncirculated?
No, but better than good. I call it VG. I found it on yesterday's Pennies from Heaven blog. Mm-hmm. The guy who owns it has it listed for like, I don't know, $15,000, which is ridiculous. But I think I could get it for $9,000.
She expands a picture of a misprinted penny.
Let me buy it for you. Let me, an anniversary present, like the fish earrings.
No. Those fish earrings didn't cost $9,000.
No, I know, but I want to.
Oh, no. It's not that. Look, if I find it, then it's fate. It's karma.
I know, but I just thought, you know, it's our anniversary and it's special. That maybe going once, going twice.
I'm sure that one day I will find one in my change. Until then.
Yes, you enjoy the hunt.
Yes, I enjoy the hunt.
She sets the tablet aside.
Oh, they're home.
Oh, you're such a mom.
I know, I am. I'm just powerless over my nature.
Daytime in the driveway.
Doesn't accountant ever eat a good breakfast? Ooh,
good shot, Ma.
Don't say Ma. It sounds so ignorant.
Ma? My Ray, my Barker, my Jug. You were my out last night, Ma.
Oh. Always blame the woman.
Well, as James Jones says in From Here to Eternity, God dealt women all the best cards. Right between the legs.
Sexist crap.
Daddy, I can't believe you said that.
Daddy, you sound so ignorant.
No, Dad.
Stop. So when will you be back?
Well, depends on the traffic. I have to drop in on the famous Mr. Gaines before I leave. He's not crazy about my secondary career as a kingpin collector. But I am the best accountant in the firm.
Yeah, no conceit in our family.
No.
Don't forget to thank him for the tasteful toilet seat.
Will do. Right after I ask him for a corner office with an ocean view.
Oh, you're bad. You're bad. Bye. Oh. You take good care of my babies.
Oh, you bet I will, Ma. Love you.
I love you. Mwah. Drive safe.
I will. I always do.
Don't miss your flight.
Darcy's family loads up into cars.
Bye. Call me. Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
Her son's silver sedan reverses down the driveway. Bob reverses a brown Blazer after him. He waves to Darcy. She smiles and walks across her lawn to the house. She steps into the kitchen. The wall clock reads 8:30. She looks at the scraps of food left on the kitchen table, reaches out toward them, and drops her hand with a smile. She grabs a TV remote from a kitchen shelf.
And although police refuse to comment, sources close to the investigation confirm that elements of the crime suggest that it was the work of the notorious serial killer who calls himself Beatty.
Yes, that's right, Dave. Marjorie Duvall moved here to the picturesque town of South Gansett, New Hampshire, after her divorce 5 years ago. Co-workers reported her missing last Wednesday after she failed to show up for work. Miss Duvall's body was discovered early this morning by a jogger in this remote area of the abandoned South Gansett railway station. If this was, in fact, the work of the notorious serial killer, police can soon expect to receive Miss Duvall's identification cards along with a taunting note from Beatty in the mail.
About a dozen downtown businesses were boarded up.
Darcy pulls down a candy tin from a cabinet and opens it. A note reads, "Ask yourself if you really need one. You've put on a pound or three lately. Love, Bob." She slaps the lid back on the tin and shoves it back into the cabinet. Nighttime. Darcy tiptoes into her living room. The TV plays a show with a woman gagged and tied to a table. A bloody woman mimes stabbing a knife into the bound woman's belly.
Oh, no.
Darcy points the remote at the TV. She tosses the remote on the table and scuttles out of the room. On the TV, the bloody woman brings down the knife. Darcy jogs through the rain to the detached garage and turns on the light. She picks up a note on the hood of her car. You really can park this, honey. Use the force. Love, Bob.
He goes, but he never really leaves.
She balls up the note and rummages through a workbench. She turns on an overhead light and opens a small drawer labeled batteries. She whirls around. She clicks off both garage lights and creeps to the garage door window. Through the smeared glass and rain, a darkened figure stumbles through her yard. The light of a cigarette butt sparks near his face. Darcy draws back from the window and looks around. She freezes. Car headlights turn down her driveway. Darcy braces herself against the garage door, head ducked low beneath the window. She slowly stands and peeks at the car. It reverses out of her driveway and down the road. She pushes back her hair and returns to the garage workbench. She switches the overhead light back on. Darcy stoops and massages her bruised leg. She pauses and reaches for a pile of magazines under the workbench.
She's alright, I was looking for these.
She rifles through an assortment of home improvement magazines. She pauses on a magazine cover that features a woman's back with her arms shackled behind her. The title reads, Bound.
Exploration.
She slides the magazine back into the stack and returns to the pile under the workbench. She drags out a limp cardboard box. She pauses and pulls the box and toolbox next to it into the center of the garage. Darcy grabs a flashlight and aims it under the workbench. She picks up a wooden square and drops it, her light trained on the square cut out in the wall behind it. She reaches inside and pulls out a small red box. The word Dad is painted on the underside of it. Darcy crawls out from under the workbench and brings the box under the bright overhead light. The word links in clumsy pink letters covers the lid of the box. Darcy looks at the underside. Playful yellow dots pepper the word Dad. She glances up, then sets the box on the bench and flips open the lid. She slowly raises the contents out of the box and into the light with a frown. She pulls a rubber band off a small bundle of cards. The rubber band flings itself away. Hands trembling, she removes the second rubber band from the stack of cards. A red ID card reads Marjorie Duval. She shuffles to the next card. Marjorie's library card. Marjorie's New Hampshire state ID. Darcy's hands tremble.
That makes an even dozen. She was tortured.
Darcy's frown fades as her eyes widen and mouth falls open. Her hand flutters and shoulders shake.
Oh my God. Oh my. Fuck.
She grabs the rubber band and wraps it around the cards, shoves the cards into the box and bends back under the workbench. She grabs the flashlight and aims it at the hole in the wall under the bench. She carefully positions the red box back into the hole and places the wooden square cover back over it. Shaking, she puts the flashlight back in its spot among the neatly labeled drawers, then hefts the cardboard box and toolbox back into their respective places under the bench, and shoves the stack of magazines on top of the cardboard box. She steps back, wrings her hands, and looks around the garage. Darcy steps onto the rain-soaked pathway and slowly shambles toward the house. She stops in the middle of the path and looks up into the pouring rain. We soar above her. She takes a faltering step forward and dashes into the house. She walks into the kitchen, wipes the rain from her eyes, and shrugs off her sweater.
Hi, this is Darcy.
And this is Bob. We're not able to come to the phone right now, but leave a message if you want to.
And if it's about collectible coins, make sure you leave a message. Remember, change comes from within.
If that's you, handsome, get your tight little buns over here. My husband's out of town.
Ah, very funny.
I tried you before.
I was on the phone with Pets. You know, she got home fine, and Donnie did too. She's just going crazy over those bridesmaids' dresses.
You okay?
Well, to quote the famous Robert Anderson, I'm upright and sniff in the air. How did it go today?
I picked up 17 Lady Liberties at a good...
No, at a great price. As for that idiot's taxes, the less said the better.
Oh, dear.
Your voice sounds thick.
You've been crying at you.
Well, I just, you know... After I talked with Pets, I started thinking about my sister. You know, she was a year younger than Pets when she died.
No, honey, if I jump in the car and turn around, I could be home in no time.
No. Don't do that. After the day you've put in, it's just, I'd be worried you'd fall asleep behind the wheel.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. In fact, since you're in Vermont anyway, did I mention that estate sale in Rutland?
Yeah. I checked it online back at the motel.
Lot 75, steel pennies. I mean, look, if you're okay and I can square it with Gaines, do you mind if I stay another day?
More time for me and the pool boy.
Wow, lock up tight.
Always.
I know you loved your sister, honey.
Yes, I did.
Huh. I love you.
I love you.
Darcy sits in the kitchen, face contorted. Bob glances at his phone and looks into the distance. In the living room, the TV features a violent bedroom stabbing. Darcy rushes in and points the remote at the screen. She hurls the remote away and yanks a power cable from the wall. Darcy strides into a home office and wipes her nose. She settles into the chair in front of the iMac on the desk and pulls back her wet hair.
Yeah.
She puts on a pair of glasses. Blue light reflects in the lenses. On the monitor, she types "BD serial killer" into the Bing search bar. Search results appear. Fatal addiction, serial killer BD strikes again. Marjorie Duval may have been the serial killer BD's 12th victim. A webpage reads, "Portland, the police department has just released information concerning a shocking and gruesome murder in rural Franklin County area this month. The find of 36-year-old Marjorie Duval's lifeless body has led the North Conway department to suspect the infamous BD as the culprit." The article continues beside a smiling picture of Marjorie. A red webpage titled, "Serial Killers Among Us." Under the article, a picture features stab wounds on a woman's back beside a pair of bloodied scissors. Another article shows human bite marks on flesh and a deeply bruised neck. A webpage shows Stacy Moore, a heavily bruised blonde woman bound and kneeling with her face submerged in a bin of corn. A poorly written note flashes on screen, "Dear Boob Attorney General, hello, I'm back. BD." Another note reads, "Hello, the boy was an accident. Sorry, but it was quick. He did not suffer. The woman deserved though, poor clothes. BD." Darcy reaches for a Tootsie Roll candy. A pile of candy wrappers litter the desk. She pops one in her mouth as she leans close to the computer monitor. A photo montage of bruised legs, a bloodied nose, a dead woman, a woman lying face down, a body with a trash bag around her head, and a body wrapped in clear plastic. Darcy zooms in on a smiling photo of Marjorie. Fish earrings dangle from her ears. Darcy raises her closed fists to her mouth. Her shoulders heave. She looks up at the framed photos and rare coins on a shelf above her. Her fingers claw at the shelf and she slumps, arm fully extended above her. She gently pats the photographs around the home office and buries her face in her hands. Shuddering, she turns back to the computer. Marjorie smiles back at her. She takes off her glasses. She leans forward, peers around the computer monitor and stands. In the living room, the TV power cable sits on the floor beside the outlet extender.
Incredible as it may seem, BD has been living on this suburban Cleve Mill Street since the late 1980s, with his wife of 25 years and two children, who are just now finding out that they have grown up under the shadow of New England's most notorious killer, or so they claim. Many are asking how much Darcelle and Anderson knew about her husband's other life as BD.
She knew nothing.
Red and blue lights fade behind Darcy. She braces herself on the mantel and shakes her head at the darkened TV screen. She tucks her dry hair behind her ear, shuffles upstairs past a small sitting room and into her bedroom. She shuts the bedroom door behind her. In her room, Darcy studies the top of her dresser. Her eyes flutter as she cautiously steps closer to the dresser. She prods at a pile of loose change and flinches back. She shakily reaches for a comb. Her chin trembles as she looks the comb over in her hand. She drops it back onto the dresser, recoils, and wipes her hand on her shirt. She steps back and wipes her wrist across her eyes. Darcy sinks onto her bed and looks around the room. She pulls open a drawer on her nightstand and grabs a bottle of pills. Darcy wrenches the top open and shakes the empty bottle over her palm. Her arms slump. She peeks into the bottle and pulls out a folded paper.
Ask yourself if you really need one of these tonight.
Yeah, well, I think tonight I do.
She tosses the paper down and taps the bottle on her open palm. She throws back the pills and reaches for a glass of water on the nightstand. She leans against her headboard and slowly rolls over, lifting her legs onto the bed. She looks across the room. In the corner, Bob's closet door hangs open with a mirror hanging on the inside. Darcy climbs out of bed and approaches the mirrored door. She places a hand on the door's edge and studies her reflection. Bob steps up behind her.
You just had to fucking look, didn't you?
He grabs her hair. He smashes her face into the mirror. Darcy stares at her solitary reflection. At a diner, Bob sips a cup of coffee and stares ahead. A blonde woman sits with a book in hand. The cover reads, "Bring me to my knees." A waitress strolls up to her and places a receipt on the table. She turns toward Bob.
Need more coffee, darling?
Yeah, sure. Just a half a cup.
The waitress passes Bob by. He watches the blonde woman through half-lidded eyes. She adjusts her hair in a compact mirror. The blonde stands from her booth and grabs her jacket, book, and receipt. She clicks past Bob in heels and offers him a small smile. Behind Bob, the blonde walks around the corner. He stares blankly ahead.
You know what? Forget about that coffee. It'll just keep me up anyway. Just check, please.
From behind the view of a windshield, the blonde struts out of the diner into the misty parking lot, a bit of paper stuck on her heel. Inside of his car, Bob's head rolls forward. Plastic sheets cover the seats of his blazer. The blonde walks up to her red sedan, unlocks the door, and pulls the paper off her shoe. She steps inside her car. A hint of a smile curves Bob's lips. She backs out of her parking spot. Bob shifts gears. The red sedan rolls away. Bob's blazer follows her through darkened city streets. Tears stream down Bob's cheeks. The red sedan stops at a stop sign and turns on its right blinker. Darcy rolls over in her bed. An orange streetlight briefly illuminates Bob's tear-soaked face. He turns right after the sedan. The red sedan's brake lights flash in the middle of the road. Bob stares through teary eyes, slack-jawed. His blazer rolls toward us on a quiet street. The headlights switch off. He slowly pulls into a driveway. A dark tree line frames the cloudy night sky. The trees reflect in a pool of water, subtle ripples blurring their outlines into a black smear. Darcy stirs. She sits upright in bed. The kitchen light flicks on. Bob stands by the fridge. The clock reads 3:25. The bedroom door slowly opens. Darcy pokes her head into the hallway. She steps out of the room and glances at the darkened windows in the sitting room. She stands at the top of the staircase and looks down cautiously. She descends, hand tight on the stair rail. She pauses a few steps down, ducks her head and peers down and around. Darcy slumps against the rail and makes her way back up the steps. She walks into her bedroom and closes the door. She leans against it and locks it. She turns, hand over her eyes. Behind her, Bob sits in an armchair.
Hey. You've been cheating at the candy again.
Jesus, you scared the life out of me.
As Moses said to the children of Israel, what goeth in the mouth today, it showeth in the butt tomorrow.
What are you doing here? You're supposed to be in Vermont.
We need to talk.
What? You come sneaking in here at 3:30 in the morning because we need to talk?
I lay for a while in that stupid motel. That we talked. And then I went out for something to eat, all the while trying to convince myself that what I was thinking was true. But I didn't get to where I got by dodging the truth, so I jumped in the Blazer and I hit the road.
Really? Gosh, I don't know what you're talking about. I just don't have a clue. It's, and as for the candy, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Well, there you go with your passive-aggressive stuff again. You never change. I can read you like a book, honey. You're upset.
Bob changes clothes.
And it's my fault. And I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart.
He buttons his pajamas.
You found my secret hiding place in the garage.
I really have absolutely no idea. I don't know what you're talking about.
You did
about.
A great job putting everything back where it belonged. Except the box was a little to the left of where I usually put it. And I love that box because, you know, Petra gave it to me. And there was a rubber band missing. Beatty always uses two rubber bands. Belt and suspender rule. But I found it. Under your car. Which, by the way, needs an oil change, which you always forget. Sometimes you can be so smart about some things and so dumb about others. Like clearing the search history, you always forget to do it.
What?
Search history. It's the first thing I checked when I came in. And, okay, I admit it. I had a pudding cup. So I guess I am a person that lives in a glass house.
Really? You checked my computer, you dirty sneak!
Oh.
She cowers away from him.
Darce, I've been doing it. For years.
He tucks the blankets around her.
I have a very bad friend that does very bad things. And when you're a man in that position...
He crawls into bed.
You have to stay current on those closest to you. And since the kids left home, that would be you. And you haven't just been checking on Marjorie Duvall. You've been checking on all of them. Whoops!
Bad friend. What bad friend?
The kid I chummed around in junior high with. I told you about him after we were married.
She flinches at his touch.
Yeah, but he's
dead. Yeah. Got hit by a truck chasing a baseball onto the street. Poor old Brian.
You're not making sense, Bob.
Wow. I guess you had to be there. There were these girls that snooted us in the eighth grade. Diane Ramage, Laurie Svensson, and a couple of others. Anyway, Brian came up with this idea that we would catch one of them alone. Well, maybe two, one for each of us. We were gonna
say to them that if they fucked us real good, like they fucked their boyfriends on Saturday night, we'd let them live.
And this was all your friend Brian's idea.
Well, look, those girls were snoots. Like Betty next door. Did you see the way that she was rubbing her tits all over me at the party?
Yeah, she was drunk.
Yeah. But Darcy, you have to realize that I didn't kill those women. Not really. It was another person inside my head. I fought it. For years, the voice. And then I just thought, I'll do it once. Get it out of my head. If I get caught, I get caught. At least it won't be in my head anymore. I won't have to think about it, wonder what it would be like.
All these years, you've been fighting him. Is that right? The beady inside you?
Yeah, yeah, I have. And I could fight him forever. If I thought that there was a future for us, if there was some way that we could, you know, just turn the page.
Well, if I don't, I suppose that I become Beatty's next.
Oh, Dorothy, come on! Honey, this is not some movie where the psycho husband chases the screaming wife around the house. I would never let Beatty hurt you. You know that, don't you? Anyway. Even if you were to turn me in, I wouldn't lift a finger. But you have to think about the kids. And you have to think about yourself, Darcy. Honey, you have to think about yourself. Who is going to believe that you lived with me for all these years and didn't know?
I didn't.
Didn't even suspect.
I didn't, not once.
You know, and you would have to move. And the Edison Coin and Collectible Company would be blackballed, I can promise you that. And, you know, then there's the kids. They have to live with the shame and the humiliation.
Stop it. Don't say that. We'll talk about them when you talk about this. Don't ever just...
Okay. Can we look? Can we just put it behind us, honey?
Oh, God. I don't know. Okay. Just let me think about it, Bob. Let me think about
it. Sure. It's okay, I understand. Oh, I'm really tired. It was a long drive. It was exhausting. Oh. Could you turn out the light, honey? Would you mind?
Bob snuggles up against Darcy. She convulses and leans against the headboard, eyes squeezed shut. She blindly reaches for the lamp. The darkened home stands stark against the cloudy night sky. Sunlight streams through the bedroom windows onto Darcy and Bob. Bob's hand rests on Darcy's shoulder. Bob stares at her sleeping back. His hand creeps to her throat.
Did you think I was gonna let you live? Did you really think I was gonna let you live?
Darcy bolts upright in bed, hands wrapped around her neck. She climbs out of the empty bed. Upstairs, Darcy looks over the stair rail. She circles the rail.
Bob?
She starts down the stairs.
Bob?
A door swings open. Darcy looks down a narrow set of steps. She carefully steps down the stairs.
Bob?
She rushes back up the stairs into the kitchen. She shuts the basement door behind her and looks around. The kitchen wall clock reads 8:40. Darcy glances between the windows and open back door toward the detached garage outside. She tiptoes to the dripping sink faucet and turns the knob. She stares across the kitchen. A magnet strip on the wall holds a row of knives. Three knives, a gap, and two knives.
I didn't kill those women. Not really. It was another person inside my head.
Darcy turns from the knives and creeps into the dining room. She tiptoes past the staircase and freezes in the doorway to the living room. She looks up the stairs.
I just thought, I'll do it once. Get it out of my head. If I get caught, I get caught. At least I don't have to think about it, wonder what it would be like.
She presses her forehead against the door frame and looks into the living room. She crosses the room to the French double doors on the other side. She pauses at the curtain doors. She jumps and whips around. Through the French doors, a paperboy rides away on a bicycle. She peeks her head out the door and retreats back inside. The red front door swings open. Darcy steps outside and glances down at the porch. She looks up at the daylit neighborhood. A car drives by. A couple walks the block. Across the street, people walk their dogs at a park. Darcy stoops down, grabs the newspaper on the porch and clutches it to her chest. She steps back in the house. Darcy massages her shoulder as she crosses her bedroom. She pulls her hair off her neck and slides on her house shoes. She pauses and looks around the room. She picks up yesterday's clothes and hesitates over Bob's side of the bed. She gingerly picks up the sheet between two fingers and drags it over his pillow. Darcy glances at his nightstand and freezes. She pulls the missing kitchen knife out between two stacks of books. The knife rests on top of a pizza box in the dining room. Darcy sits at the table, hands clasped, jaw set, and gaze low.
Darcy! Darcy, I'm home! Darcy!
Bob strides in. Darcy keeps her back to him.
Pizza?
I didn't feel like cooking.
Yeah, but what about your acid reflux?
I took a Zantac.
Okay. Well, since we're going to be bad, what do you say we have a little wine?
I'll take that as a yes.
He marches into the kitchen. Darcy's eyes stay lowered. He sets a glass of red wine in front of her. She throws it back.
I'll have another.
Wow, you took a couple of Xanax, didn't you?
With a smirk, he takes her glass back to the kitchen. He sets her glass back in front of her. She points to the knife.
That's the one you left upstairs on the little table.
Did I?
She nods and smiles wanly.
I must have forgot that I had it in my hand. I was going to cut myself an apple, but I forgot the apple too. You know what it's like when you get tired, you forget stuff. It's mushroom.
You have to promise me.
What?
You have to promise me that you're going to stop.
Yes, honey. What did
the most solemn... Never go back on it, promise.
I do. I told you that yesterday.
And we could never talk about this again.
Bob sits at the table and dips his head.
I get that.
And you're not to send the Duval woman's ID to the police. I need more than promises, Bobby. You dig a hole in the woods somewhere. And you bury that woman's ID in it.
If I do that, are we good?
Of course we are. You're good.
I am.
You're going to stay that way, aren't you?
I am.
Good, that's settled. Go ahead, eat your pizza then.
Oh, my God. It's hot. Mm.
Don't take such big bites, and you won't burn your mouth.
Mother knows best. Oh. Mm.
Darcy trembles and picks up her wine. From an upstairs window, Darcy watches Bob toss bags of garden mulch from a wheelbarrow. Bob looks up at the empty window. He raises a trowel.
Mom, I'm still waiting on 20 RSVPs. And they're all his relatives. And he says that they're coming, but how am I supposed to know that? Why wouldn't they RSVP?
Relax, honey. Take a deep breath. The wedding is still weeks away, okay?
Mom, I think it would have been easier if we had just eloped.
Now that would have broken my heart.
And your dad's, of course.
How is the old fella?
Huh? You know Dad. Upright and sniffing the air.
Hey, have you talked to Donnie? Are you sure that he's cleared his schedule? Because he's become this damn success story. And
Pets, your brother will be there with bells on. And if he's not, your dad will...
Kill him? God, I hope so.
Something like that.
All right.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, too.
And stop obsessing.
All right, I'll try.
Get some sleep.
Okay.
Thanks, Mom.
Bye.
Darcy places the house phone on the receiver and leans against the door frame leading to the dining room. She gazes at the door frame opposite her with a small smile and reaches out. She walks her fingers along penciled and crayon blinds marking different heights. She looks up and peers into the living room. Bob sits in an armchair with a tray of coins on his lap. A porcelain figurine of a white bear balances on the armrest. He uses a jeweler's loop to study a coin up close.
Any luck finding the great lost penny?
No, not yet. But you know, all good things come to those who wait.
He picks up another coin. Darcy walks away. Outside, Betty sits across from her at a restaurant table.
Nice. It's how
long has it been since we've had a girl-girl afternoon?
Oh, I know. A couple of months, I guess.
It's because you and Bob are so tight.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it, Doris, honestly.
Neither do I.
Oh, he's on the road, yeah?
Yeah, he's just in Portsmouth. Some little stationery company got their taxes all snarled up, you know, and there's a coin show tomorrow, but, you know, he'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, with him, it's always a coin show. Does he actually have any other hobbies?
Clues for you.
No, I'm not finished. I'm not done. Sorry.
Doris?
I'm sorry.
She takes Betty's hand.
I'm sorry. You know, it's just the wedding. Petra keeps calling every night, and every night there seems to be a new problem, and
shit just rolls downhill. And
that's it. Yeah. That's it. Exactly. And, you know, I worry when Bob's on the road. You know, when he's away. How about dessert? Enough.
Darcy's gray sedan turns into her driveway. She eases forward, driver's window rolled down. Her side mirror smacks the side of the garage door. Smiling, she leans back in her seat. She steps out of the car.
You're right, Bob. I can do it.
Darcy strides past a wooden shelf. The white bear figurine rests atop it. She grabs it, pops off the cork on the underside of it, and funnels in a handful of change. Inside, she sips a drink on the couch.
Thanks, I have no knowledge of the missing funds. In other news, a Portsmouth woman was found murdered in her apartment late this morning. Michaela Blake, age 42, had been shot 3 times. Police have taken Miss Blake's common-law husband into custody, and sources close to the investigation say he's confessed. Of course, if the next one is Beattie's, she belongs to you, Darcy.
Betty steps out of a red Mini Cooper in a white mini dress. Bob glances up from pruning a tree. She opens her trunk and bends over, skirt riding high over tiny white shorts. Bob side-eyes her and raises his eyebrows. She pulls a pair of tennis rackets from the car. She glances over at him. He waves. She waves in return. Darcy watches from a window. Outside, Bob works on the underside of his blazer. Darcy walks up, arms folded.
There's a fix-it muffler 4 blocks down on Rayburn Avenue. Maybe you missed it, huh? You only go past it every day when you go to work.
Yeah, well, you know. They fix the problem, charge you 3 times what it's worth, and then point out 6 other things. And then some big snooty guy looks at you and says, "Hey, I'm just telling you, it's your decision." Can you hand me the adjustable wrench?
Darcy studies the car jack. Bob looks up at her. Her eyes sweep the empty neighborhood.
Darcy? You okay, Doris?
I saw you looking at Betty.
Yeah, well, that skirt is pretty short. It's hard not to look.
Well, then you're gonna have to try harder, aren't you?
It's a big week next week, huh? Petra's big week. You want to hand me the adjustable? I want to get out of here.
She tears her eyes away from the car jack, bends down and hands him a wrench.
Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
She beams at him and walks away. He glances after her. A black limousine sits on the street outside of the Anderson home. Inside, Bob carries a silver platter of drinks up the stairs.
Bonnie. Limo's here.
I'll be down in a couple of minutes.
Darcy adjusts herself in the mirror.
I brought you some fizzy water. Oh my God.
What? What's wrong?
You look gorgeous.
Oh. Mm. No, 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 none of that. I'll have to fix my mouth all over again. Mm. But thank you. Thank you. You're very sweet. So go on, I'll be down in just a couple minutes.
She stares as he leaves the bedroom. Sunlight streams over a white chapel against a blue sky. A throng of people gather outside the church doors. The newlyweds step out of the church. Petra hugs her father. Vince hugs Darcy and shakes Bob's hand. The four of them line up and smile. Donnie steps out of the crowd and poses beneath the couple with his hands raised in the shape of a heart. Vince takes Petra by the hand and guides her down the church stairs. Throne petals float around them. White balloons strapped to the back of the limo bounce in the breeze. The white-haired man watches from his car, cigarette in hand. Darcy looks at him from the back seat of a black Chrysler. In his car, the white-haired man holds a scrap paper that reads Beatty, B, D, Bob and Darcy. An arrow leads from Bob's name to the letter B. He draws a second arrow from Darcy to the letter D. Petra and Vince dance at their reception.
Folks, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the father and daughter dance. Let's get him out here. I've seen him move. Give him some room.
Bob stands with a grin and raises his fists. Smiling, Vince backs away from Petra. Vince greets Darcy with a kiss on the cheek and sits beside her. She smiles at Bob dancing with Petra. He slowly twirls her. His eyes meet Darcy's. In a flashback, pink balloons drift along a pink and orange checkered floor. Little bare feet stand on the tops of shiny black shoes. Petra balances on Bob's shoes as they dance, other father-daughter pairs swaying beside them. Bob waves. At the wedding reception, Bob slowly spins Petra on the dance floor. Vin steps up to Bob and Petra.
May I? You may. Enjoy.
Bob steps back from the couple. He looks at Darcy's empty chair. His smile drops as he looks around the room. Outside the dance hall, Darcy sits in a green armchair, eyes closed.
Darcy! You're missing your own party!
I'm just rehearsing my toast.
Oh, it'll be fine. Honey, this is a beautiful wedding. Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, Betty. Thank you.
Wearing a low-cut green dress, Betty hugs Darcy.
Bob, I think he might have a little thing for me.
Betty. Yes, on a few occasions I have suggested that he put his eyes back into his head, okay?
I just want you to know that I have never encouraged it and I never would. You're my best friend. You are such a peach.
I know.
You deserve every good thing that's happened to you.
I'll see you later.
Okay.
Darcy's smile hardens into a clenched jaw. On the dance floor, a floral skirt twirls. Guests dance in a train, drinks held high. Betty leaves the train with Bill's hands clamped on her waist. A bridesmaid in a pink dress does the robot. Bob stands away from the dance hall, hands planted on a table. He leans over a white bouquet.
Wrong.
Nothing. Nothing. Everything is finally right.
He hugs Darcy.
Oh, honey.
If
I was a poet, I could tell you how grateful I am for the second chance to be here to see all of this, but I'm just a lousy coin collecting accountant. So all I can say is thank you. Thank you so much.
Darcy smiles and nods at Bob's teary eyes.
Come on. We need to get back in there.
He wipes his eyes. They face the dance hall together and walk hand in hand. Darcy's other hand balls into a fist. At home, Darcy makes Petra's bed. She picks up random laundry strewn about the room and bends over to smile at a framed photo on the nightstand. Petra grins between two other women. Darcy sets the laundry into a basket on the bed and carries the basket out. Outside, Bob's brown blazer rolls past a red cottage-style house and turns the block. In the garage, he steps out of the blazer with his suitcase. He picks up the white bear piggy bank and shakes it. He carries it out of the garage. In the basement, Darcy folds white towels. She reaches into the dryer. A sparkle of silver light bounces over her. She looks over her shoulder and follows the dancing reflecting light through a doorway with a towel balled up in her hands. She steps into a misty green room and walks past hula hoops hanging from the ceiling. They sway in place. She passes an assortment of swaying ceiling lights and bicycles. Her vision warps as she looks over bookshelves of squirming items. Darcy steps past the bicycles. Christmas tinsel tumbles down beside her. She sets down the towel clutched in her hands and approaches plastic curtains hanging from the ceiling. She pushes the curtain aside. A heavily bruised blonde woman with her arms bound behind her kneels over a bin of corn. Darcy blurs as she steps up to the body. She gently pulls back the blonde's hair.
Petra!
Darcy! Darcy! Darcy!
Darcy!
Darcy! Darcy!
She lurches in bed.
Darcy!
What?
Darcy, you're never gonna believe it. You're never gonna believe it.
You're scaring the Jesus out of me. What?
Pick a hand.
What? I don't want to play games, Bob. What?
Come on. Pick.
She taps his left fist.
You read my mind, but you always could.
He offers her a penny.
Found it in the change bear.
You just found this? Let me see this.
I was just going through the change.
Oh my gosh. How many years have you been searching for this?
Since I was 14 years old. Oh, isn't it great?
I know. I'm so happy for you.
So, what do you think? Is it fine or very fine? You're the expert.
Well, I'd love to see. VF, but
I know, but it's better than VG.
Oh, definitely better than VG. Definitely. You know what? If your dad was here, he would be cracking open a bottle of champagne. I just know it.
Well, I will take care of that tonight at Pearl of the Shore.
Oh, Bob, I don't know.
Come on. Put on your prettiest dress. I will buy as much champagne as you can drink.
Well, okay. How about as much champagne as you can drink? And I'll drive home. It's your find, after all.
Deal.
Oh.
They embrace. She beams over his shoulder. Nighttime at a restaurant on the water. Inside, Darcy and Bob sit at a white cloth table. He kisses her hand. She squeezes his hand. He caresses hers. She sits back. Bob grabs a glass of champagne and takes a gulp with wide eyes. They smile at each other. He holds up the penny in a coin-holding case, clasps it between his palms and kisses the back of his hand. Darcy's car rolls onto their driveway. She parks on the driveway. Bob climbs out of the passenger's side. He leaps and slides across the car hood.
All right, one more time.
He hops in place and twirls.
Whoa!
Yes! Am I going to get to be a naughty boy?
Huh? You might.
He follows her into the darkened kitchen.
I'm going to go upstairs, and I'm going to get out of this dress. And if you bring me some fizzy water and a wedge of lime, you just might get lucky, mister. But it'll cost you.
How much?
For you? Just a penny.
Wait.
Bob rummages in his pocket.
Oh.
He waves the coin around. She snatches it.
For safekeeping.
What you want to talk?
Yes. With the mirror. Hey, now, hurry up, you naughty boy.
Darcy sashays out of the kitchen. Bob shrugs off his jacket and shuffles to the cabinet. A light flickers on. He carries two glasses to the fridge. Upstairs, Darcy slides out of her shoes and grabs a red scarf from beside the standing mirror. She drapes it over her bedside lamp. In the kitchen, Bob slices limes and opens a bottle of fizzy water. Darcy sits on the bed and takes off her earrings and necklace. Bob plops the limes into the glasses of water.
Here I come, ready or not. You my bad, bad girl?
Are you my naughty boy?
Bob rounds the upstairs stair rail. From the shadows, Darcy shoves him. Bob tumbles over the stair rail and crashes into a small table. Shards of glass skitter across the floor. From above, Darcy looks down from the stair rail. Bob's limp body lies at the foot of the stairs, legs splayed out to the side. Darcy circles the stair rail and slowly creeps down the stairs. She tiptoes toward his body. She carefully steps over shards of glass and between his legs, past him into the kitchen. She walks to the phone. She looks up from the phone. She picks up a plastic sandwich bag and dish towel from the kitchen counter.
Why did you push me?
Maybe it was female exploration. I so hoped that the fall would kill you. I knew it might not.
She shoves the plastic bag in his mouth and flattens her palm across his nose. He reaches for her neck. She pins his arm down and straddles him.
Here I am! Bobby! Oh, I'm on top! Just the way you like it! Right! Right!
Bob's legs flail and kick. He falls limp. He weakly lunges at her, arms outstretched and back arching. She wrenches his arm down and shoves the plastic bag back in his mouth. She gathers his tie in her fist and pulls, writhing on the ground beside him. Bob falls still. Darcy loosens her grip on the wad of plastic in his mouth. She rolls to her knees and reaches across him to brace herself on the bottom stair. She looks down at his bloodied face and pulls the plastic from his mouth. She studies his frozen face and pushes herself to her feet. Darcy rushes to the kitchen, pulls the dish towel out of the plastic bag and examines it under the light. She folds it and hangs it on the island counter. She scurries to the sink and runs water over the blood-stained bag. She fills the bag with water. Water streams out of holes in the plastic seam. Drops of blood hang from the bottom of the bag. She looks around the kitchen and opens a cabinet under the kitchen sink. She clutches a yellow rubber glove and moves to a kitchen drawer. She pulls out a flashlight and walks back to Bob's body. She straddles him and parts his lips with her gloved hand. She shines a flashlight into his mouth. A blunt strand of hair catches the light. Darcy sets down the flashlight and uses both hands to pluck the hair from his mouth. She marches the bloody hair into the kitchen and rinses it down the sink. She grabs the plastic bag and uses it to push blood residue down the drain. The water runs clear. She turns off the faucet, shakes the bag out, and tosses her rubber glove back under the sink. Darcy opens the fridge and rummages the shelves. She pulls out a carton of meat and wraps the plastic bag around it. She shoves the meat into the freezer and looks around the kitchen.
Darcy Anderson calling from 24 Sugar Mill Lane. My husband just fell down the stairs and I think he might be dead.
Blue skies frame a verdant cemetery. Trees bloom with white flowers.
For I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believeth on me, even if he die, yet shall he live.
Mourners stand by a casket.
So we commit thy servant, Robert Anderson, to the ground, in the sure belief that the good works of his honest life will recommend him to thee on the day of judgment.
Darcy hides a smile behind a handbag.
Hang in, Mom. Almost.
Would the family like to approach?
Darcy kisses Petra's head. Donnie steps closer to the casket and holds out a handful of earth.
Rest in peace, Pop.
He wipes his palms clean and steps back. Darcy nods to Petra, who steps forward.
Is he dead?
She tosses the dirt and walks into Vince's arms. Darcy steps forward and opens her handbag. The fish earrings sit in the side pocket. She rolls them in her gloved palm, pauses, and throws them into the grave.
They were very special to him.
Then why didn't you put them in the coffin?
I forgot. That's...
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord raise up his face upon you.
The priest raises his right hand. The Anderson family stares down. On a cemetery pathway, a woman walks in front of Donnie in a black mini dress.
Nice dress. If it was any shorter, you could see her abs.
Don't you ever. Ever.
Darcy wrenches her son's chin toward her. Petra and Vince stop. She marches away, Donnie frozen in place.
She's just upset.
Boy, is she ever. If there's any booze in that limo, I could use a drink. I'm buying.
Darcy looks over her shoulder as she walks toward the limo. The white-haired man stands at a grave, a bouquet in one hand and cigarette in the other. He tosses the flowers. Outside of her home, Darcy stands beside a white van. Two men load up Bob's belongings.
Thank you so much, Mrs. Anderson. God bless you.
You too, Father. You're very welcome.
Some good comes of our greatest losses.
If you say so.
The side of the van reads, "Help to all charities of Southern Maine." Smiling, Darcy watches the van drive away, sunlight catching in her golden hair. Across the street, the white-haired man sits on the hood of his car. He slides to the ground and hobbles toward Darcy.
Hello. Mrs. Anderson.
Yes. Can I help you?
He drops his hat.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oh, well, thank you. Holt Ramsey, I'm with the Office of the State's Attorney General.
Does RET mean you're retired?
Well, I'm an old dog. They toss me a bone now and then I chew on it.
Oh. I think I've seen you. Have you been here before?
According to the Hindus, we all have.
What can I do for you, Mr. Ramsey?
Inside will be better.
Ramsey follows Darcy into her home.
Oh. My, this is a lovely home you have here, Mrs. Look. A place for everything and everything in its place. My wife would have approved. How I miss her. Just the way I imagine you miss your husband.
Yes. What may I do for you, Mr. Ramsey? I'm sorry, or is it Detective Ramsey?
Donkey is, since anyone called me detective. No, you go straight to Holt. That'll do me just fine. Well, thing is, I get bored. Just the TV for company, so I thought to myself, I'll take that drive down to Cleves Mills and I'll just ask a few of my little questions.
Darcy's eyes dart to the side. Holt reaches into his pockets.
Have a look.
He holds out a creased newspaper clipping that reads, "Beatty is eyed in mother son slaying."
Turn it over.
She flips the paper to the scrawled words, BD, Bob and Darcy.
Oh, I see you do know my name.
Indeed, I do. Both of your names. Bob Darcy, BD. Look at you. Look at you both. Rubbing our noses in it the whole time, weren't you?
I'm sorry.
There are 12 women who are dead, Mrs. I'm surprised you can laugh at that.
Sit down right there and just be quiet. Troublesome man.
She walks to the kitchen. He sits on the stairs and spits into a bloody cloth. She brings him a glass of water and a dish towel. He raises a palm to the water.
Another touch, that stuff.
You know you're crazy.
Could be. But I notice you haven't asked me to leave, have you? Have you? I probably don't have much of a case, you know that.
Mm-hmm. You have no case.
Doesn't matter, Mrs. There are ways and there are ways. Once I come upon this fella, way far upstate. Killed his wife, two kiddies. Tried to make it look like home invasion. I chewed on that old bone. Got a taste for it. Chewed that bone till the fella got nervous and he ran.
Mm-hmm. And what happened to him?
I chased him right up into the Haynesville woods. You know? Where the song says there's a tombstone every mile. But he crashed. And I crashed right after him, and that's how I got this leg, not to mention the steel rod that I got in my neck. I can tell you when it's going to rain.
And the kid that you were chasing? What did he get?
He got death. Burned to death in his car. Saved the state 40, 50 years, room and board in Shawshank.
You are quite the hound of heaven, aren't you, Mr. Ramsey?
I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways. And so on.
Did you learn that in school?
Methodist Youth Fellowship.
Oh. I won't let you ruin my children's lives.
Well, if you think about it, Mrs., wasn't me put ruin in their way. You think about it.
Darcy stands at the foot of the stairs, eyes wide. Holt shuffles down the steps of her home and pulls on his newsboy cap. She looks out the window as he limps across the road to his car. He laboriously falls into his car seat, a long cigarette pinched between his lips. Darcy looks away, jaw clenched. Hope slumps against his car horn. Darcy slowly opens her door. Betty runs down the sidewalk to him. Darcy closes the door and watches through the window. She leans against the door, forehead pressed against her arm. Nighttime, Darcy strides past a garage security point and into a large brick building. The sign reads, City Hospital. She steps out of an elevator and past a nurse's station. An RN rolls a man on a gurney down a hall. A slumped nurse plays solitaire on her computer. Darcy continues down the hall. She closes a patient room door behind her and looks around the dimly lit room. She opens a closet door, reaches for a pillow on a shelf and clutches it to her chest.
Go ahead if you want to, but I don't think you'll get away with it twice.
Darcy studies Holt. He lies in bed with tubes in his nose.
What's the worst thing that you ever did? Just the two of us. And you know what they say. Two can keep a secret if one of them is dead. And you'll be dead soon enough, won't you?
She steps closer with a pillow.
You call that fella I told you about, one who killed his wife and kids? Mm-hmm. Well, that after he wrapped his Mustang around the tree, I just sat and I listened to his screams. For quite a while. Finally, they stopped. And then I called it in.
And who else knows?
Only you.
Because people wouldn't understand, would they?
Tell me something. Just what was it that you threw into the grave?
They were the earrings that my husband...
Darcy's stoic expression falters. Her chin wavers.
Gave me for my 25th anniversary. Her fish earrings because I was a Pisces. He said, you know, they belonged to Marjorie Duval. He raped her. And he murdered her. And stole her earrings and gave them to me. And I thought, oh, he's just so thoughtful.
She turns away from Holt's bed. She walks Bob's small red box to Holt.
Marjorie Duval's ID was in this box. The box that his daughter made him for his cool project.
She sits beside him.
He promised to stop.
Did you believe him?
No. But I needed time to think, and I wanted to spare my children.
He didn't come here to kill me. He never would have brought this if you had. There's one thing that I can't quite get by. The initials. E.D. B.D.
B.D. was something else. When my husband was a boy, he had a friend who was killed in an accident. It was a boy with fantasies. His name was Brian Delahanty. I guess he didn't like his first name very much because when my husband was a kid, he used to call him. Would you have caught him?
Oh, yeah.
Holt looks down at the little red box in his hands. He slowly lifts a penny out of the box and examines it closely.
It's blurred. Like it's two pennies.
Some people are that way too.
Mrs.
Darcy turns back around. Holt offers her the red box.
The only thing I have to do is pay my taxes. It's not for me to punish you. You know, your kid's gonna talk about how much they miss dear old dad. And tell the grandkids about what a fine fella Grandpa was. You're just gonna sit there and listen, nod, smile. Once in a while, even have to talk about the good old days.
Mm-hmm. I can live with that.
Darcy. come over here close to me.
She slowly leans down and lines her face beside Holt's grizzled cheek.
You did the right thing. Now, would you mind putting my music on for me?
She kisses his cheek.
All you big and burly men who roll the trucks along, you better listen. You'll be thankful when you hear my song. You have really got it made.
Daytime at the Anderson home. In the basement, Darcy sits at the laundry table. She wears reading glasses and looks over a magazine of rare coins.
It's a stretch of road of mountain that's never, ever, ever seen a smile.
She stands and reaches behind the dryer. She pulls out a small candy tin.
Lost in them woods, there'd be a tombstone every mile.
Tootsie Rolls rest on top of a written note. Darcy pulls it out. It reads, "I know I'm a pest, honey." She unfolds the paper. A heart circles the rest of the note. "But I want you around a long time." She tosses the note aside, unwraps a candy and picks up her coin magazine. Cut to black. Credits appear. Joan Allen, Anthony LaPaglia, in Stephen King's A Good Marriage. Cara Buono, Kristen Connolly, Will Rogers, Theo Stockman, with Mike O'Malley and Stephen Lang. Directed by Peter Askin. Screenplay by Stephen King, based on his story A Good Marriage. Produced by Will Battersby, Permelita. Co-executive producers Greg K. and McGowan, Nick Quested. Co-producers Linus Hume, Evan Pohl. Director of Photography Frank G. DeMarco. Production designer Sharon Lomofsky. Editor Colleen Sharp. Costume designer Molly McGinnis. Casting by Douglas Abel, Henry Russell Bergstein. Composers Danny Bensi, Sonder Uriens. Credits continue.
Would there be a tombstone every mile? Count them all. There'd be a tombstone every mile.
I can hear you say hello. You're everywhere I go. Such is my love. Even though I try, I can't forget. My heart can't help but cry. Such is my love. I just go on longing for your kisses, still thrilling to your charms. I never spend a day without dreaming you're right here in my arms. If you only knew the restless nights my heart goes through, I'm helpless, what to do? How can I hide the tears I keep inside? Such is my love. Such is my love, the tears I keep.